Welcome to Daily in the Word.
West Coast Baptist College is a growing, dynamic institution committed to training laborers for the Lord's harvest. Thank you for your prayers and support for our students and our vision to train up a new generation of faithful, servant-hearted spiritual leaders. To find out more about West Coast Baptist College or to be a part of our vision, visit wcbc.edu or call toll-free 888-694-9222. West Coast Baptist College, training laborers for His harvest.
There's a lot of things that cry out for our attention during the Christmas season, but you know what deserves your attention the most? The Lord Jesus Christ. And so today on Daily in the Word, we want to call your attention to the attributes of Jesus Christ. That's next with Dr. Paul Chapman. For many, the Christmas season is about celebrations. For many, it's about materialism and gift giving or receiving. For many, it's about getting together with friends and family and sharing memories. For others, it's about discouragement and loneliness. But you know what the Christmas season is really supposed to be about? The Lord Jesus Christ. And so we welcome you to today's edition of Daily in the Word, where together for the next few moments, we want to give our attention to the attributes of Christ. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program teaches the Word of God through the preaching and teaching of Dr. Paul Chapel, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church, president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. And our series through Christmas is The Attributes of Christ. We hope today's message will draw your heart closer to the Lord Jesus. Who was it that was born and laid in that manger over 2,000 years ago? We're going to discover that today. I want to remind you to visit us at dailyintheword.org, and all during the month of December, our gift to you is the Christmas CD, the solo piano CD, A Quiet Christmas with Christ. We'd love to send that to you. It's our gift when you partner with us this month for any amount. When you partner with us and help us cover the cost of airtime across the country, we want to send you this gift, and we know that you'll enjoy it. But right now, here's Dr. Paul Chapel to introduce today's message.
Jesus Christ is referred to in the New Testament as our great God and Savior. And as we consider His greatness this month in particular, we're especially mindful that Jesus Christ, the perfect Son of God, was holy in all of His attributes. Not merely in Bethlehem's manger, but throughout His life He was tempted in all points, yet never sinned. Let's consider His holiness today as we turn to John chapter 2, and learn more of our Savior.
God's people have always had a place for worship, and they've always participated, amongst other ways, in their giving. Exodus 30:13 says, "This they shall give everyone that passeth among them that are numbered, half a shekel after the shekel of the sanctuary, an offering. Half a shekel shall be the offering of the Lord. Everyone that passeth among them are numbered from 20 years old and above shall give an offering unto the Lord." So, on the Passover feast, those men that were 20 years and above would come and they would bring their offering to the Lord. And so they would go to the money changers. But here's the problem. The money changers, according to Josephus and other historians, were charging anywhere from 12 to 15% interest. And it was becoming a bazaar. It was becoming a business moment. It had nothing to do with honoring God. And Jesus saw it all, and it sickened Him. And I want you to know, friend, we've got to guard our hearts. And I make no apology at this church for having conservative, Christ-honoring music and Bible-centered messages and doing our best to keep the focus on the preaching and teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, listen, sometimes you can get so lost in the activities you never see Jesus Christ. And as Jesus came into the temple, I think of that song I've heard sung, "I'm kind of homesick for a country to which I've never been before." Now, Jesus has been there, but I would imagine going into the temple realizing the tabernacle was made after the pattern of the tabernacle in heaven, realizing that the dimensions for this place, that the description of this place was given by his father, no doubt longing to draw in a way of fellowship closer to his father. And he comes into this special place, and instead of drawing closer, he's discouraged. Hey, let's not ever be the kind of church where when people from the Antelope Valley come in here wanting to get a little closer to God, wanting to know what it means maybe to be saved, wanting to know more about God, that all they hear is church members in the foyer talking about the Raiders or the 49ers or talking about their latest thing they're selling or doing. May this always be the place where people can come and hear the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Now that's the assessment of Jesus. Notice secondly, the action of our Lord. Our Lord, in righteous anger, intervenes. A lot of people don't understand this part of Jesus, but this is the same Jesus who said, turn the other cheek. This action of our Lord, realizing the purity of the temple worship was now being diluted, was an action of, first of all, confrontation. Notice the Bible says, he made a scourge of small cords and drove them all out of the temple and the sheep and the oxen and poured out the changers' money and overthrew the tables and said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence, make not my father's house a house of merchandise. Oh, he made a scourge out of these cords, and he begins to drive people out of his temple, and in righteous indignation he is driving out, first of all, the cheaters. Annas the high priest had allowed people to be cheated. They were charging and overcharging for the sacrificial animals. And then he threw out those money changers who were making money and exorbitantly so, charging interest, and he sends them away. And all of this was a discouragement to the people. And by the way, God wants his people to see him and to have worship in the purest form. And so Jesus drives them out. But then notice the admonition he gives to them in verse 16. Take these things hence. Make not my father's house a house of merchandise. A very deliberate command. He says, get this stuff out of here. Jeremiah 7 and verse 11. In this house which is called by my name, is it become a den of robbers in your eyes? Behold, even I have seen it, saith the Lord. Now, let's understand a very basic principle. That is that God is a holy God. His worship is to be done in holiness and truth. The Lord Jesus Christ was angry with the distractions to their worship. And I want you to recognize that God in his holiness has, since the beginning of time, called his children to set aside distractions of worship and set aside the sins and weights that do so easily beset us, so that we can look to him and run the race that is set before us, so that we could consider Christ. He says, anything that's hindering your view of me, I want it taken away. Psalm 1, the Bible says in verse 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Hey, God says, if you've got some friends that are scorning and pulling you down, don't sit with them. A lot of times young people say, well, you know, I just try to be friends with everybody. That's not the Bible command to you. The Bible command is, if there's someone scorning what is right, then don't sit in the seat of the scornful. God says, if there's something going on in the temple that's distracting, I want it removed. If there's something going on in your life that's distracting, I want it removed. 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 1, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting, notice this, holiness in the fear of God. Now, someone says, well, I just don't like holier than thou Christians, and I don't either. God's not calling us to be holier than thou. But I did read in the Bible where it said, be ye what? Holy, for I am holy. And Jesus wants his place of worship and his people who worship to be holy. And hence the action to drive out that which was not holy. I wonder if Jesus were to assess your heart today. As a child of God, what is it in your heart or life that he would drive out? Please excuse me for saying this, but what is it in your life that would anger him? How many of you believe that he hates sin? And sometimes as a Christian, there could come an attitude or an activity in our life that is displeasing to Him. And if that's the case, then lay it aside today and turn from it, that you might worship the Lord in spirit and truth. So the assessment of the Lord is clearly seen, and the action of the Lord was very, very direct. And then notice finally this morning, the attribute of our Lord. Now, what do we learn about Jesus from this story? What attribute comes out to us concerning Jesus Christ? And I believe the overwhelming attribute is His holiness, His zealousness, His righteousness. Notice, first of all, we learn about the Lord that He is holy, H-O-L-Y, God. And the disciples remembered verse 17, what was written, "The zeal of thine house hath eaten me up." Speaking of the zeal that our God had for His house and how He felt towards this place of worship. Now, His righteous indignation stemming from an absolute commitment to God's holiness revealed His true nature as the judge of all the earth. And again, I say, as He judged the tabernacle or the temple this day, so He judges the hearts of His people, and He judges and oversees the places of worship of His people even to this day. And so He is holy God. And we as Christians must see Him in His holiness. John Brown, a 19th century Scottish theologian, wrote concerning His holiness these words: "Holiness does not consist in mystic speculations or enthusiastic fervor. Holiness consists, listen to this, in thinking as God thinks and willing as God wills. It's not about what mama thought. It's not about what grandpa thought. It's not about what your neighbor thinks. It's what does God think about this matter?" And holiness is learning to think as He thinks. And so we must see the Lord in His holiness when we come to church. And we must not try to get Him to come down to our level, but we must say, "Lord, I want to see this life and this situation as You see it." And then we must worship Him in holiness. We must worship Him in holiness. Your view of God will determine your attitude in worship. Again, one of the reasons we have conservative music and one of the reasons we preach expository messages is because at this church, by the grace of God, we always want to have a very high view of God. We're not here to have some casual little talk, as some would say, with the man upstairs, they say. We're not here to just kind of have a little talk with Jesus. We are here in respect and recognizing He is holy, and we are worshiping Him in holiness. And many churches today, their worship style reflects their attitude of His holiness. Psalm 96:9 is a beautiful verse. I want you to see it. It says, "Oh, worship the Lord in beauty of holiness. Fear before Him all the earth." Now catch that. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Now let's read that. If you've got it there in your notes, let's read it together. Ready, begin. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty, fear before Him. All right, one more time. Let's lift the volume. Ready, begin. Oh, worship the Lord in the fear before Him. Did you catch that? The beauty of holiness. How many of you agree His holiness is beautiful? And we don't want to get to the place in our mind or in our church where we're so distracted that we don't see the beauty of His holiness. And Jesus came into the temple grounds. He's coming now to the temple, His Father's house. Are you with me? Designed in heaven, given to the priest and to be overseen according to the Father's will. And He comes in and He's kind of homesick and He's looking to see this wonderful, magnificent place, but it wasn't all that it was supposed to be, and it wasn't holy, and people weren't worshiping Him in the beauty of holiness. It wasn't beautiful for Jesus. I don't know about you. I want my heart to be beautiful for Jesus. I want this church to be beautiful for Jesus. I want Jesus to feel welcome here and Jesus to feel welcome walking with me. But He didn't feel that way in the temple that day. Robert Murray McShane once wrote to a missionary friend, "In great measure, according to the purity and perfections of the instrument, will be the success. It is not great talents God blesses so much as great likeness to Jesus." Let me say it again. It is not great talent God blesses so much as great likeness to Jesus. God is looking for people who will follow Him, and we must see Him in His holiness, and we must worship Him in His holiness, and then we must worship Him according to His Word. Now notice what it says there in Psalm 138, verse 2. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. Watch this. For thou hast magnified thy word above thy name. Do you understand this morning how important the word of God is? John 4, 24, God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And many times people go to a so-called worship service, and they kind of hang, just kind of casually go in and kind of sing some repetitive choruses over and over again, and they call that worship. But my friend, if we have not opened the Bible, if we have not expounded the truth of the word of God, if we have not worshiped Him in spirit and in truth, then we have not worshiped Him in holiness, for His word is holy, and we must know about Him through His holy word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You say, you want to get to know the holiness of Jesus, get the Word open. He is holy God. And then finally, I want you to see this, He is everlasting God. We're going to see more about this in the weeks to come. But one of the attributes of Christ is His eternality. He is everlasting God. Now notice something, if you would, as we close in verse number 18. Then answered the Jews and said unto Him, what sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things? All right. Here you see the authority of Jesus being challenged. And the Jewish leaders say, who do you think you are to come in here and do this? What's the authority by which you throw these tables over and drive out these animals and so forth? And the fact is that by asking that question, they were showing their hard-heartedness. They were saying, prove who you are to Jesus Christ. By the way, Christian, don't ever say that to Jesus. We sang it a moment ago, trust and obey, for there's no other way, right? To be happy in Jesus, but that was not their heart. And they said, give us a sign to show us who you are. Please understand, the sign gifts, the healings, and all these types of things, the signs were not meant for believers' edification. The signs, the miracles were not meant for congregations like this gathering together to be edified. The signs were always in Christ's time and in the apostolic era for unbelievers with hard hearts. The Bible speaks of this, and you'll see it there in your notes, 1 Corinthians 1:22. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. You see, they wanted a sign to prove who Jesus is. You listen right here. I don't need a sign. I don't need a tongue talker. I don't need a faith healer. All I need is the precious, holy Word of God to know that He is true. Don't live your life by emotions or signs. Live your life by the clear teachings of the Word of God. Amen. God's holy Word. And so they said, give us a sign. But notice what Jesus says. Jesus said in verse 19, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Somewhat like the parables we've been studying. He says, you want a sign? Okay. Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I'll raise it up. Now that just threw them for a loop, because unsaved people cannot discern spiritual things. We said it last week. The Jews didn't get those parables. They were intended for the believers, right? And they said, what do you mean tear down the temple? Why? It took our fathers, notice what it says there in verse number 20. It took them 46 years, and you're saying you can tear down the temple and raise it up again. Why? Look what Jesus says. Verse number 21. But He spake of the temple of His body. He says, you want me to prove who you are? Let me tell you this. Tear down this body, and in 3 days it's coming back up again. He said, you're going to get some proof. And you might reject me right now, but after I'm crucified and laid in the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea, and when you hear the news that the tomb is empty, mark it down in your mind. It wasn't an accident. I'm prophesying my own death, burial, and resurrection. The Bible says in Matthew 12, 39, but He answered and said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, but there shall be no sign given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Oh, the psalmist prophesied prophesied it as well in the Messianic Psalm 16 and verse 10. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Oh, the prophecy of the Old Testament and the prophecy from the lips of Jesus was simply this, that when Jesus died and he was placed into that tomb, that God the Father would not allow him to see corruption, but that on the third day, as with Jonah from the whale's belly, Jesus would come again and rise up. Oh, what a wonderful prophecy that is. I want to tell you something, friend. If you're here this morning without Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you're not sure if you died that you would go to heaven, I've got some good news for you. Though he is holy and we cannot attain that holiness, though we fall short of the glory of God, yet Jesus came down to this earth, not just to cleanse the temple, but to cleanse your heart and mind from sin. How did he accomplish that? He accomplished that when he went to the old rugged cross, and there the Roman soldiers placed the nails through his hands and his feet, and the blood came flowing down. And thank God there is a fountain filled with blood, and sinners drawn beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. And if you'll come to Jesus Christ this morning and you'll say, Lord, I'm a sinner and I'm lost and on my way to hell. I fall short of your holiness. I'm not holy. I'm a sinner. And you'll admit that to him. The Bible says he will in no wise cast you out. You say, Pastor Chappell, you don't know what I've done. I've had an abortion. I've stolen. I've done bad things in my life. I want to tell you some good news today, friend. It doesn't matter what you've done, and it doesn't matter where you've been. God loves you. Yes, he is holy and righteous, and he cannot accept you on your merit. But if you will come by way of his Son, Jesus Christ, then a loving God in heaven will declare you righteous as if you had never sinned. He will forgive you on the merit of the blood of his only begotten Son. And if you've never come to Christ in that way, then I encourage you to come to him and receive him as your Savior, and let him forgive you of your sin. For he is the Lord of his temple, and he is the purifier of his church, and he will come as the judge of this earth. And all of those who have trusted Christ as their Savior will have the hope of eternity in heaven.
Well, you've been listening to Daily in the Word, the daily radio program and teaching and preaching ministry of Dr. Paul Chappell, the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and the president of West Coast Baptist College. If today's message has been an encouragement and a blessing to you, perhaps consider going online. You can download this message in its entirety, this program in its entirety, and also recent series from Daily in the Word through our podcast or through the website when you visit us at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. I also want to encourage you to refer a friend to dailyintheword.org. Let them know about the great Bible teaching and preaching that you're receiving, and they can receive that as well anytime, 24/7 at dailyintheword.org. I want to invite you to prayerfully consider partnering with us financially this month. This is an important time of year to consider how God might allow you to impact others with the gospel of Christ. And a great way to do that is through the ministry of Daily in the Word. Your gift of any amount is so important to helping us continue this radio program on this station and others like it all across the country. And this month, when you will partner with us, we want to send you a gift of appreciation. And it's a Christmas CD, a solo piano CD that will encourage your heart, entitled A Quiet Christmas with Christ. You can partner with us online at dailyintheword.org by clicking on the donate button, or you can call us toll free. The number is 1-800-201-7748. Again, 1-800-201-7748. We also love to hear from you by mail. You can send a letter to 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. Once again, 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. From all of us here at Daily in the Word and Striving Together Publications, we want to wish you a very Merry Christmas and the happiest, most blessed, Christ-centered New Year. Before we wrap up today's program, here's Pastor Chappell with a word of greeting.
The Bible says in Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name given under heaven, given among men, whereby ye must be saved." Have you noticed there's a lot of religions and a lot of religious names in the world today? But that name Jesus stands for something. That name Jesus stands above every name. Why do we say that? Because Jesus Christ was the very Son of God, who lived a perfect life on this earth, and yet he voluntarily went to the cross of Calvary, suffered, bled, and died for the sins of the entire world. And on the third day, he rose again. My friend, if you consider yourself a sinner, if you realize that you fall short, that you aren't perfect, then you are a candidate for a Savior today. Even as the Bible says, "For unto you a Savior is born." Friend, the Savior Jesus Christ wants to enter your heart today. Confess your sin and turn to Him as your Savior, and He will come in and save all who call upon Him.
Well, thanks, Pastor, and thank you, friend, for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word. I want to remind you, visit us at dailyintheword.org. You'll find a treasury of resources for your spiritual growth, including a daily devotional from Dr. Chapel, a link to the Daily in the Word podcast, and lots of other information. Be sure to check out the information on the Alaska cruise. We're headed to Alaska in August of 2011, and we would love to meet you and fellowship with you during that week on this special adventure. Be sure to consider prayerfully partnering with us financially. Your gift to this ministry on a monthly basis would be so appreciated and would go so far in helping us to continue expanding the ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ all across the country through this program. You can partner with us online at dailyintheword.org. Our toll-free number, 1-800-201-7748. Thanks so much for letting this program minister to you today. And until next time, have a great day.